to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a little blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Well, welcome to Hillary's Sanitarium and Trump's new 6-point lead. Friends, Cruisins, loved ones, haters, lend me your ears. Yesterday, I offered up the theory that Hillary is now effectively unelectable. Why? Because beyond all the scandals, a nasty temperament, lack of accomplishment, disasters birthed on her watch, braggadocious arrogance, ultra-feminism that still protects male sex harassment and assaults, constant compromise, cult of personality, infinite sense of entitlement, bottomless self-pity, and ultra-leftism, we now have a new 900-pound gorilla in the room, her obvious physical decline and current incapacity. Now, nobody wants to invest in a corpse for higher office, but Hillary's new ideas, Weekend at Bernie's 2, the sequel, special guest Hillary, rotten corpse Clinton, doesn't matter if she can even walk the White House steps. Just get her elected. We've reached a surreal new threshold of our political theater of the absurd. Now that Hillary is returning, it is time to start betting on how much longer she will last. Is it morbid? Yes. Is it insensitive? Probably, but no more so than either candidate. Is she headed for the oblivion to be another brick in the wall of failed would-be tyrants? Undoubtedly. Stay tuned, friends. This should be delightful. In the meantime, Trump continues his relentless assault upon our staid and ineffective ideas, and like a glacier, constantly growing, picking up objects in its path, still causing a great deal of consternation and insult and agony and getting personally offended, and yet converting even highly skeptical doubters into his fold, like most recently Mark Levin. So Trump is plowing ahead at record speed towards his final destination, the Oval Office. Good morning. Had to give you a little taste of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer there at the beginning because this is the show that never ends, isn't it? Isn't this just kind of, isn't it an amazing time to be alive, to be an American? I mean, you can say both parties are full of it, and I'm sure they are. You can excoriate the GOP because they picked Trump, but I mean, how do you put somebody into your nomination process that is extremely sick? Now, according to some people, it's just a pneumonia with a little background of concussions and blood clots. I did some research on her blood clots last night. I found out some information you're going to find notable. Now we got Ben Rossin coming in today as well, so that is going to take up a little bit of time, but we'll be on top of this subject. And I'm trying to figure out what I want to get into first. Let's shift things up a little bit here. Let me get into some headlines for you. Trump jumps to 6-point lead. So there's a certain point where, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, at some point, I think if things continue in the direction they're going, he's going to get a 10 or 15-point lead because all of this stuff that's building up is just, I mean, if you want to have a bad background for somebody's campaign, I can't imagine that you would have a better candidate for that than Hillary, because, I mean, there's so, like I mentioned in the opening, there's so many things to be offended by this lady on: her attitude, her sense of entitlement, the fact that, you know, she's rude to people, apparently very rude in private, just kind of a monster. But out in front of the lights, still, she has to deal with the, you know, the fact that she was apparently a helper to her husband when he was doing wrong. Very self-righteous, very feminist, very, very condescending and dismissive of anybody that doesn't agree with her. A martyr, an ultra martyr, super martyr. But also the legal stuff. I mean, she's got this, I mean, you can't even separate all this stuff out, but the email scandal that is metastasized and dragged into her investigation, all of her friends, all of her, you know, to be a friend of Hillary Clinton is a very perilous undertaking. But the foundation is just, it's just that the amount of corruption in the foundation itself is epic. Now, in New York, they're investigating Trump's charity. And you know where Hillary's charity is? It's in New York. I mean, here's the media. The media is so terrible now that, you know, the media has refused to do its job on all this stuff. So it's left to, you know, it's left to, what do they call it? Alt-right, the internet, Fox News, AM radio. So it's left to us to kind of try to dig into this stuff, but they're investigating Trump while Hillary Clinton has presided over, and her husband has presided over probably the biggest charitable scam in human history. I'm not making that up. The numbers are so jaw dropping. So she's got all of this stuff to deal with at the same time. And on top of that, now it seems inevitable that people are going to end up seeing this clip of her. And even though the mainstream media, which is constantly filtering and restating things, has put this clip down, they just show her wobbling a little bit and then they cut away to the end of the clip where she falls. It's going to get into everybody's eye and everybody's mind. It's going to be in everybody's mind an indelible image of her tripping and falling and stumbling into a van that was just a few feet away. And that's going to be, I think, beyond the incompetence, the failures of foreign policy, the lack of having any, you know, the things that she points at as achievements are the biggest disasters that America has to deal with right now. Libya, which is now the number one seedbed of ISIS, was her idea to overthrow, and Iran, which is now apparently, the other day they said that the United States, that Obama agreed to give Iran $30 billion, get this, in cash and gold. We're giving something that has worth no matter what condition the world is in. We're giving that to Iran, and what does the number one terrorist state do with its cash now that it's allowed to have missiles? So, and Hillary's thumbprints are on all over that. Her time as a senator, failure. I mean, I don't remember anything that she did that you could write home about. But anyway, getting back to these headlines that I just promised you. Gallup says trust in media historic low, 32%. I can't believe it's that high. You know, the trust in the support of Congress is at like 7%. I can't believe that the media isn't even lower than that. I mean, the amount of lying and falsification and screening, and it's, I've never, I say this every day, I've never seen anything like it, but it's getting worse and worse. All right, I don't see a ton of traditional news, and I'm going through all your sources. I'm going through Google News. I'm going through Fox. I'm going through Drudge. And I found a new news buddy, Bing. It's pretty good on these, a lot of these stories, for anybody who uses the Bing searcher. Not too bad. But anyway, I don't see anything jumping off the page. But I can't get over this thing that these guys did, which was to, I just can't imagine bringing somebody in, and they had to have known that Hillary Clinton was so sick. I mean, I predicted this already. I don't think she's got the stamina, the health to finish this race. The amount of stress on somebody running for office at this level is unprecedented, and they're trying to keep her going through drugs. It can't work. Everybody has a body and a soul and a need for health, and she doesn't have it. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Ralph.
Ralph, good morning to you. Hope you're well, and thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Kelly, this problem with Hillary, pneumonia.
Yeah.
I've had double pneumonia, and I was taken to Memorial, and they relocated me to Mountain View. I was in a coma for 48 hours, and the pain in your chest, and you can't breathe. I mean, you just don't recuperate like that. By the same token, there is no walking pneumonia, they call, that you can have pneumonia and you could be walking around. Me, it hit me when in an hour's time I was unconscious.
Did you hear me? Did you hear me play yesterday in honor of Hillary, Walking Pneumonia and Boogie Woogie Flu?
Yes. Oh, I've listened to you for 4 or 5 years. I don't know, 6 years. I don't know how long.
God bless you.
Well, like you know that I've been ranting and out of control at you at times, and I've complimented you that you're batting 1,000, and then your rating has gone down to almost minus 50. But I don't believe in political correctness, Kelly, as you're already aware, huh?
Yes.
Say like it is, and I'll cut my nose to spite my face if I have to.
All right, well, Ralph, you're pretty good on kind of tapping the opinion that's out there. What is the current view of Hillary? How are people taking all this in now? It's almost overwhelming, the amount of information, the negative information, and now with the health issues, what do you think the average person is looking at her and saying to themselves?
Before Hillary went to work for Obama, she was very popular and very well-liked. When she went to work for Obama, forget it. Her rating went down big time. Kelly, I've mentioned this before, that my dad was chairman for the Democrats for 17 years. So political-wise, I'm very well up to date on it. There was congressmen from different states would gather to support, say, Spanish. It would be Anglo from Colorado, Texas, Arizona, and then the Hispanic senators from New Mexico would go to their states to draw the Hispanic vote. So I'm familiar with all that. I'm over 82
okay.
years old.
All right, you're over 82. What is the typical Democrat, not just in this county but across America, looking at Hillary and saying to themselves? What are they saying in the midst of this almost unprecedented just implosion?
Well, from the people I talk to, and I know a lot of people here in Las Cruces, and I've been all over the United States, they're not very happy with it.
But is she viable?
Pros and cons, let me tell
you. Of course, but is she viable? Is she even healthy enough? Listen, making it through the election, the idea that being a president means making it through the election, getting into office, that is the definition of a president, is absurd. She doesn't appear to have the health to do anything of any exertion, level of concentration, or a level of hard labor or mental activity for more than a short period of time. 1 or 2 days would completely wipe her out.
Kelly, it's not so much her health. It's her problem with not telling the truth. The Benghazi, everything that she's backed Obama with. Let me tell you, these guns that killed Brian Kerry there in Arizona, that is a big, big load on her because she backed all that. And a lot of other things that have taken place, that her health right now doesn't seem to be all that weighing her down. It's what she's done while working for Obama. That is totally, completely unacceptable with a lot of people. And that is more against her than her health.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I got to take a break here. Any concluding thoughts?
Well, I hope Trump gets in there, not Hillary.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. She is just monstrous. But thanks for the call. Thanks for the support and listenership and the thumbs up and thumbs down. I really appreciate it.
Sure, Kelly. And okay. When I call you, Kelly, it's going to be facts. I mean, I'm not going to be calling you about something I read or heard about.
I got you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Bye, Kelly.
Thanks. All right. Now, I've got some bleed over from 101 Gold of all places, so I've complained about it, but I don't know. I am radio. I'm not that. You know, FM is glamorous. AM is blue collar. Come on, you know, got to fight to get any recognition around here. But anyway, I'm trying to get rid of that. I hope I don't have to buy a new system in here, but it bankrupt me. But I did get my own computer because I was sick of the other one freezing up. But given my all for my blue collar and non-blue collar listeners, but we'll take a little break here. But it just seems like unprecedented days. It almost seems like, you know, I heard Alex Jones saying these are historic times. And I mean, all times are historic. All times go in the history book. But for the most part, what people go through is forgotten. There's just a few events that rise up. We're still talking about Rome 2,000 years later because of the incredible things that happened there. But we're the new Rome. So, you know, maybe future generations will be studying this. But it's fun to be involved, you know. It's fun to be alive right now. I've got to predict she leaves the race or has some sort of another collapse. You can't make it just on drugs. Elvis, the king, proved that. 624 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. We'll be right back to carry on. And please feel free to call in or text. Thank you. All right, I do have some New Mexico news, some really tragic news that really bothers me. Mother of New Mexico girl who was raped and killed had sought men to sexually assault her daughter, one of which she worked with, another of which she worked, that she met over the internet. But I just can't imagine this. I mean, she did it for sexual gratification, that she set up these sex assaults against her daughter and then watched them. And then on the third one, she was murdered. But I'm just baffled by that. Another story, Facebook chooses New Mexico for new data center over Utah, which is good news. Although, of course, that was immediately criticized by the environmentalists. All right, so here is what kind of what's on my mind. I want to do a story tomorrow on, and I want to do a show, a full show, on the change in morality in America. And the reason that I want to do that is because things have changed so much. And I was reading this article by this guy that it goes back a couple of decades. And one of the things that he mentioned in it, and he was writing about how civilizations die. And one of the things he mentioned kind of almost in passing was having a feel for things that are basically wrong. So through political correctness and whatever other agency there is, we have brought in a number of new ideas that have been put on top of the hierarchy of good and bad. In terms of good, everybody knows homosexuality and transgenderism and all these things. You can't say anything about it because it's politically perilous. You can get prosecuted. You cannot resist it in your business. You will get sued. But you're not allowed to say anything. And so we've got this huge, and homosexuality is just kind of, in my mind, emblematic or symbolic of something that people had so much resistance to a few decades ago for moral, intellectual, and religious reasons. And now that it's changed and it's been a top-down change, it's also been a societal change, but I wanted to kind of not just focus on that, but to talk about this idea that we're in the middle of a society that is in free fall, and if we don't put the brakes on it, it's going to completely be destroyed. And then we're not going, you know, people are going to talk about America like they used to talk about ancient Rome. Now, okay, a couple of other things for you. The Electoral College, I've been watching that between Trump and Hillary. Now, I've got some news for you. Trump's up nationally by 6 points, which is a major, major amount after the conventions, both two conventions. The bounce is over for both of the conventions. Now, here is what we're looking at: state polls, Florida +3. Trump has to get Florida to win. Nevada, Trump +2. Ohio, Trump +5. Oh, Trump basically needs Ohio to win. And that CNN is 5 and Bloomberg is 5. Maine, Clinton up by 3. Texas, Trump by 6. Obviously, Trump has to have Texas. Virginia, Clinton is up by 6. But don't forget, Kane is from Virginia. Trump can win without Virginia. But Pennsylvania is moving in Trump's direction. I look at this electoral map right now on Real Clear Politics. 209 Clinton, Trump 154. And 175 undecided. But I was studying it last night, and I saw that it was, let's see, okay, so there's been a 15-point shift. So it's about 170, and if you take 15 points off of 209, it's 270 to 290, something like that. It is neck. It's almost neck and neck. So for anybody who's out there. And this brings up the last thing I just want to mention before the break is I've been watching. There have been a number of stories that have come out that have been totally incongruous. You know, they don't fit in with the moment. And stories that come up with headings like how Trump lost the battleground states, how Trump lost momentum, and different stories, how Trump lost the blue collar, the middle class, and all these different stories are kind of being rolled out. And I'm thinking, this is so weird, because one of the people said that one of the stories last night, and it was a huge story, I couldn't believe how long it was, how Trump lost Colorado, when I was watching the polling on Colorado, and it's actually turned around and headed in Trump's direction. But it was a very exhaustive analysis. And I think what happened is the media was so bought into Hillary and so opposed to Trump that they lined up all these stories ahead of time to put out this thing. And here's the last thing I'm going to throw out to you, gaslighting. What is gaslighting? Gaslighting is when you try to convince people indirectly that they're crazy. And so you do that through all kinds of different things. But in this case, the media would roll out this supposed representation of reality that Trump is not just terrible, but everybody across the nation understands that, and state by state are falling away from Trump. Now, they're publishing this stuff. It's absolutely, it's fascinating to me, and it's also, it really exposes the mainstream media. They're on this mission to destroy Trump, but they're going to do that by discrediting him through polling and through the times. All right, folks, I'll see you tomorrow, but here's a little teaser. Bill Whittle, this guy's really good. Gaslighting is a fascinating concept. Check it out.
Hey, Jim, what's happening these days? I think you must be going crazy since you were most. You and all your crazy friends seem to be the only one who think the whole world is mad. Well, first, you're not alone. Second, you're not crazy. And third, you're not mad. This friend and his entire version system would burn for a whole year. Senator Donham tried to drive his wife to sit by and insist that this was she was simply didn't.
All right, so that's what the media is doing, and the media is doing it repeatedly. And so you're thinking, what is it that's so great that they would have an earth they would sacrifice a degree in education? These people on the same page, but there is occasionally, just not right now. I just saw a clip last night that I wanted to play for you. That when we come back, first power through All right, so here is this meme. A meme is an idea or a statement that kind of gets spread through the media. Here is the meme. Don't worry, Hillary Clinton was powering through. So even though she's desperately ill and does not have the stamina to walk up a flight of stairs and is constantly having health breakdowns, she was powering through. So it's not a negative that she didn't talk about her pneumonia, her supposed pneumonia. It's a positive because she powers through everything. She powers through life. She's super strong. She is Stalin-esque in her ability to, she's impregnable. Check this out. Gaslighting. Attempts by the media, transparently, if you think about it, the chances that all of these media outlets would accidentally use the same phrase is zero. So if you want to talk about collusion and conspiracy theories, start right here.
Power through this. She made a decision to just power through this. We've decided to...
This is her spokesman, the head of her campaign, Mook.
Power through sometimes. Just power through this. Continue to power through. Yes, she tried to power through it. She decided to power through it.
Well, you know, Brooke, she just wanted to power through. She just wanted to power through her schedule. So she wanted to just power through and keep doing it.
I appreciate all of her desire to power through.
To power through and get things done. She tried to power through it.
It was Hillary Clinton's decision, essentially, to power through
the candidate who famously wants to power through these things. She's going to try and power through.
We say when you get a cold, just power through. Power through.
They thought she could power through. They thought she could power through it. They thought that she could power through it.
Wants to power through things. That too, that the powering through. That.
Governor Jennifer Granholm said women just power through these things. And I get it. I try to power through all my illnesses.
Hillary Clinton had a very busy day on Friday and she powered through that day.
Yet she powered through.
Powering through illness is what women do every day.
She continued powering through.
I think about mothers powering through.
I mean, she powered through that week. I'm going to power through. That was her way.
That is gaslighting. And I mean, these people that put these, it's one thing to report news. It's another thing to have studied neuro-linguistic programming, the way to talk to people to change, get them to change their habits and beliefs, and using propaganda techniques, which is the media is clearly doing now to try to persuade people to support Hillary. Don't see it as a negative, the fact that she hides her health records her entire life, the fact that she never tells the truth. Now, you see it as a positive because she's powering through. She's American. She's epic. You know, she lived through Bill Clinton. She lived through Whitewater. She lived through the great right-wing conspiracy of hate. She lived through whatever else, you know, whatever, you know, she's the greatest feminist in history when she's not helping her husband, molest and rape women. But, you know, the thing is that this is gaslighting. We are being given information across the media to try to influence our beliefs and our thinking. And these people are counting on the notion that we will hear these phrases and think that we're dealing with a higher life force. That's what the elites try to do. They present themselves as super thinkers, super researchers. They're all philosophers. They're all, they're coming out of the Ivy League. They were geniuses when they were born. By the time they got to high school, they knew more than the average person does at the end of their life because they're elites. They're special. Their DNA is bulletproof. It's super high quality. The IQs are off the charts. You get it. And then you see the result of elitism, and it's a disaster from the beginning to the end. And it has a lot to do with gaslighting, propagandizing, if you want a better term for it. But getting people to think that going off their own instincts is wrong, is mistaken, because you're not smart enough, you're not an elite, you haven't been trained, you don't have the right theories, your religion is getting in the way, or your selfishness, your total indifference to reality, global warming, guns, fill in the blank there, your love of bacon, whatever the, you know, your support of smoking, anything that the media attacks, But especially in this campaign cycle, we've seen a lot of gaslighting. All right, so nearly half of people in America, half of Americans are very concerned about the Clinton emails. In the meantime, I see that the New York Times is reporting that the race is very close. I think that there has been this level of propaganda out there, and that the average Democrat has a great deal of concern about Hillary Clinton, dislikes how she approaches stuff. I think even the Frankies of the world deep down know that it's been a terrible compromise to bring this woman on with all of her baggage. You know, she's got, and she has to go around the country in a train because she's got so many carriages, so many cars full of her baggage. And, you know, it kind of reminds me when she won't give the speech information from when she was in Wall Street, when she was giving speeches to Goldman Sachs and stuff. And they ask her why, if she was opposed to Wall Street like she claims to be, and why, if she resisted the seduction of America by Wall Street and she stood up against it, why would they pay her so much money? And she laughs and says that's what they offered. But she won't hand over these speeches. It's just this idea that no matter what she's done, you can spin her positively. And the problem with this is now she's desperately sick. You know, when somebody's dead, it's hard to hide the fact. So when somebody's dying, no matter how much medicine you pump into them, no matter how much propagandizing you do, and you can see famous examples of this in history, especially in these tyrannies where this person has become so important that they can't, you know, the population is not allowed to know any truth about their health and well-being and mental state. And that seems to be the direction the media is trying to bring us. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell and celebrating the show that never ends, Trump v. Hillary, but it's much deeper than that. It's a fight for the center for the country. It is a fight for who we are, how we define ourselves, and where we're going in the future. We'll be right back, and I think Ben Rossin will be here for the Rossin Report. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 659. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 to text. We'll be back.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to fill your head up on.
All right, so I forgot to make a note to myself for this morning that Ben is taking the week off because I believe, and I think it probably had to do something with him missing the meeting too, which it was a foregone conclusion what the vote would be. But I believe something was going on, not a crisis, but there was something that he had to attend to. But he couldn't make it this week. I think his wife's out of town, basically, and so he's got all the kids. All right, so we talked last hour about, we started off with talking about Hillary's sanitarium and Trump's six-point lead, and then kind of worked our way into gaslighting, which is trying to persuade people that they're crazy. I want to focus on that a little bit tomorrow, but I've got an idea for a show for tomorrow. But here's one thing that I just want to throw out to you, and I do have just a whole ton of stuff left for today, as I always do. If I have a guest coming in, or I think is coming in, I always prepare for a show, full show, because a lot of times people don't show up. And I never really get through all the stuff that I had prepared. But one of the things that I looked into last night was I started thinking that, you know, that Hillary has been given this clean bill of health by her doctor. Now, if Hillary has lied repeatedly, and she even lies openly, you know, when she was excoriated by James Comey on... And before I forget this, I just kind of ran across this. James Comey had said something along the lines of tape over your camera in your, put a piece of tape or paper over your camera for your computer. It is possible, and it is actually probably becoming more likely each day since they're doing so much surveillance on us already, and they're copying all of our emails and texts and everything, our phone calls. But the experts say tape over your camera because the camera can be taken over, your computer can be taken over, or your computer can be compromised in a way that you would never know, but they can be watching you through and listening in through your computer. So FYI. But James Comey does this extraordinary thing where he says she's not guilty. And by the way, he lists all the elements of the crime. But there is this, and then she gets up and says, you know, James Comey said I didn't lie and I never sent any classified information, blah, blah, blah. So she lies out in the open. What would stop her, since this is her number one goal in life, to get elected president, to be the first female, what would stop her from lying about her health? I mean, does anybody, even her supporters, does anybody out there really believe, after the extraordinary things that we've seen from her in terms of her health, which I don't want to bore you with a list of them, but does anybody think that she wouldn't tell a lie about her health? I mean, she would lie about her health at the drop of a hat, and I believe she would get a doctor to help do it too. And you might say, well, wow, I mean, wouldn't that put the doctor's career at risk? In my opinion, not at all, because things have changed so much. It's what I'm going to do a show about tomorrow. Things have changed so much in this country that the only thing that matters is your approach to these modern standards, to political correctness, to liberalism. As long as you accept those things, there are no consequences. Now, that might be a little bit of an overstatement, but I think every day it's getting worse and worse for just the average person out there like you and I. All right, so I've done some research on this, and I was trying to figure out what's the story with the blood clot. All right, so when she had this blood clot, there's a couple of things I wanted to let you know, one of which is, the blood clot happened in a vein that was, let me see if I can get a clip of, they have a picture in the Daily News, and this is from 2000 and 2013. I have a phone call. I'll get back to in just a second. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Honorable Jeff.
Jeff, what's up?
Hello, Honorable Kelly O'Connell and Honorable Ralph, everybody. I was wanting to talk to Ben Rawson.
Did you hear me? I forgot that he had told me last week at the end of the show that he wasn't going to be here this week because I think his wife is out of town and he's got like all these, they've got a big family, and I think that he's just taking care of that in business. So,
yeah, I was wanting to talk to him about bus patron etiquette, because I do have experience on, you know, the city bus, not the county, and I feel I have a contribution to that bus system.
Can it wait a week? Can it wait a week?
Yeah, but I got some other points, too.
Go ahead.
About populism. Populism can mean, like, a silver coin. The free silver movement back in 1893 or so, there was a party, and it can mean other things too. But
what does it mean? I mean, what's the free silver movement?
Well, I think it should be extended to the free.
What
copper,
is it?
Copper nickel coin.
What is it? So people understand what you're talking about.
It's just expanding the money supply, the treasury expanding the money supply, except in ways other than the Federal Reserve making everybody a debt slave, something like that, I think.
All right. So what would it stand for? What would the change be?
Well, my idea, and I've called into the Bill Lauterbach show about it, that you'd coin a bunch of coins like this one. See, bus etiquette, there's people getting on the city bus and they don't have their money or they don't have their ID. And me, the bus driver, is like a deputy magistrate. You have to honor the bus driver. I think in some cases there should even be a security guard on the bus, and, you know, in case the bus driver is not being treated like a deputy magistrate, because their job is to drive the bus and not be hassled by these people that are, they got an attitude, you know. Get on the bus, have your money ready, and sit down and be quiet. And these people aren't doing that. They think that the world owes them something, you know. And then if you say you have the money, how come these people can't? They're holding up the bus. Then they'll tell you, how did you get the money? That's the Obama's attitude. It's always, how did you get the money? It's like, you didn't earn the money, so it's okay if I don't have to pay. Because even if you have the money, you didn't earn it. That's the attitude some people have, and
What would be the change from what's going on now? I'm trying to conceptualize what you're talking about.
Just with more coinage of $10, $7, $4 coins.
All right. So you're saying
$1 coins.
You're hold on a second. You're saying use coins to, but have coins of more worth so people can carry more higher amounts of money in smaller pieces? Or what's that?
It's
sinking a little bit. And Mrs. Clinton's black platform and a large vein on the side of her head, right here between the brain and the skull. The vein called the right hemisphere sinus has a man chest line left side. These veins drain blood from the brain. Can cause stroke or brain hemorrhages. But if the transverse sinus is blocked, the vein on the other side usually can't be able to. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. This is Yoli.
Hey, Yoli. What's going on?
I'm outside.
Oh, all right. Hold on.
Okay.
All right, so I have got, we do have a guest that's going to be on in just a minute, but I wanted to get into for you just a little video on former Secret Service agent. I'm going to shift on from the health issue, but I wanted to put on for you the guy that had just published the book, why he was afraid of what happened out in New York when Hillary was trying to get into that car and almost fell down and hit her head.
Welcome back to Hannity. Gary Byrne, the former Secret Service officer who served in the Clinton White House, released a scathing new op-ed about Hillary's health entitled, "I Protect Hillary Clinton in the Secret Service. Here's Why Her Fainting Video Really Scares Me." Joining us now to explain more is the man himself, the author of Crisis of Character, former Secret Service officer Gary Byrne, also with us tonight, author of the upcoming book, Guilty as Sin. Ed Klein is with us. Gary, let's talk about it. Why? Tell us about this op-ed.
Hi, Sean. How are you? What I saw, Sean, the reason I wrote the op-ed was because what scared me was that clearly Mrs. Clinton was having some kind of medical episode. Now, I am not a medical expert, as you know, but I am an expert on observation, and I'm also an expert on Secret Service procedures. And the first scene you see in that video, Sean, of Mrs. Clinton where she's leaning up against the Ballard, clearly her body is stiff. And as the few seconds that shows her standing there, her head keeps raising further and further back. The woman on the left-hand side, the staff member, has her hand underneath her arm, clearly trying to help control her and support her. When the van pulls up, everybody who's ever gotten into a vehicle, a taxi, a van, watch Mrs. Clinton's action as the van pulls up. She stares straight ahead. She doesn't even acknowledge that the van is there. And then the African-American agent walks around to the van, Sean. He opens the door and then steps back and grabs Mrs. Clinton's left arm. The bald agent, who I believe is the ship leader, does something that's pretty unusual. He walks between the open van door and the protectee. And the reason he does that is because he knows she can't move without his help. Then he takes her right arm. Then the woman behind her grabs Mrs. Clinton under both armpits. And they all start moving her towards the van.
And she's still collapsed.
As they move her, Sean, you can see she loses complete control to support herself. And then they pull her into the van as they're pushing her into the van. And they're so quick to try to get away from people seeing this that they actually move so fast that her shoe fell off. And they left it on the sidewalk and on the street. And somebody picked it up and handed it to the agent in the follow-up vehicle. This disturbs me greatly.
Are you worried at all about the Secret Service's handling of this? I mean, I hate to be critical of them. I do have my pin up here, and they do a good job, and they put their life on the line for all of our national leaders, and it's an important job. We've got to protect them. But there seemed to be circle that covered what was going on.
Right.
Like
so
I covered
that standard
space
procedure.
Like that. Yeah.
So that's standard procedure. Everything they did was spot on to the training. I literally, as you know, I was a uniform division officer, but I worked at the training center, and I literally used to help train the agents in some of these skills. And everything they did was correct. Don't forget, they're not just protecting. What they did wasn't unusual. They weren't really protecting Mrs. Clinton from a video camera. They're protecting her from somebody with a gun. It's all about
assassination. Understood. Okay, you're saying there's something seriously wrong with her. Now, there's a book by Dr. Connie Mariano. Do you remember her?
I do. I remember well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, apparently she was the White House doctor for the Clintons. Quote, I assigned a female nurse in civilian attire to accompany Hillary on the campaign trail. I notified the Secret Service she was on medication in the event she was injured. Excessive bleeding would be dangerous. And Hillary had lied at that time, telling her staff that she had pulled a muscle rather than saying she had a blood clot. So this would not be the first time, correct? Did you know that?
No. Yes, actually, I did. I don't remember from the time, but I've learned it since then. And I remember she was actually a Navy doctor, Dr. Mariano. She was a captain when I met her, and she retired as a one-star admiral.
Yeah.
None of this surprises me, Sean. And I realized they just supposedly released her medical records. The first thing I listened to is their language. We were releasing medical records. I don't believe a thing on there. Based on what I've saw over the years of, for instance, Mrs. Clinton first claimed after the Benghazi attack that it was a video, and you go back to her husband claiming that he did not have an affair with the intern, Monica Lewinsky. I don't believe a thing out of their campaign's propaganda.
Yeah. All right, Ed Klein, we do know that most voters doubt Hillary is telling the truth about her medical condition.
Good reason.
All right, we'll take a little break here and come back and talk to a local charity and doing something really exciting. AM Los Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. All right, so we've got CARE here, and CARE is Cancer Aid Resource and Education Incorporated. They raise money for people recently diagnosed with cancer, and they use that money to help them. And we've got Yoli Diaz with us, Executive Director of CARE. Good morning, Yoli.
Good morning, and it's great to be here this morning.
Fantastic to have you. All right, so tell us about, just give us a little bit of background on CARE, and then we can move into the big event, the first annual.
So we are a local nonprofit organization, and what we do for our community is we raise money. We host different events, we raise money, and we use that money to help people that reside in Doniana County and have recently been diagnosed with cancer and are in active treatment. So by that, they're getting chemo or they're getting radiation or they could be going through a surgery. The idea is to be able to help them and be able to relieve some of the stress that they're going while they're coping through that cancer treatment. So we help with non-medical needs, gas cards to get to treatment, utilities, rent, groceries. It could be a mortgage payment. Anything dealing with everyday life. If they need to travel for treatment, it could be lodging, it could be airfare, it could be parking, it could be meals. So this is a very unique organization because finding funding for human services is not easy at all. So
one of the poorest counties in the nation.
That too. So that you have to take into consideration. There is another organization, not related to us, but it is doing things similar and more. But they are in northern New Mexico, where the per capita income is probably, they rank maybe second or third, and we're down at about 22. So it's a huge difference to be in an area like ours and be able to have an organization like this.
All right. Well, congratulations on putting the group together. It sounds phenomenal. Now, tell us about the first annual big event. You've got a beautiful poster here, La Grande Fiesta. And September 23rd, 24th, 25th at Plaza de las Cruces, our recently renamed downtown.
Well, it's Plaza de las Cruces. They've got that name. They're also going to be celebrating the new plaza. So let me begin by saying that we're also a volunteer group. So the concentration is to use our funds for local cancer patients and treatment. So we're really, really excited because this year we've got a new event, and it was actually named by someone in the community, and it is actually by someone who is battling cancer. And so the name is The Big Event, A Community That Cares. So it is a three-day event full of events and entertainment. We're really, really excited. We have vendors. We have food vendors. So there'll be a carnival, entertainment, just different things. So I can give you the lineup and tell you a little bit about everything that's going to be happening that weekend. So we are honoring what the mission of the whole enchilada was. And that is people, food, and culture. So we are getting it kicked off by the Juan Chifi Rosales Golf Tournament. And that's really, really special because this tournament is actually being done by a family of, we helped their father. And so they are doing all the work for this tournament, and the proceeds will be coming to CARE. So we are really, really excited about them wanting to come on board and paying it forward. Then we will go to the golf tournament's at Red Hawk also. And so then we will be at the plaza starting at 5 o'clock. And we will have Johnny Flores and Isabel Aguirre. They are the downtown musicians that you see during the farmer's market. So it just goes hand in hand to have them there at the downtown area. So then we're going to have our opening ceremonies at 6. Then the entertainment with the mariachis will begin. It will be Salvador Hernandez and his mariachi Alma de Jalisco. He'll start at 6:30, and he's got something really special that he's going to be singing. He's written a song for Roberto Estrada. Roberto will be there, and we will be honoring him, so that's going to be pretty exciting. Then it will continue with music, and we'll have Neil McCowan and the Good Time Gang, and he's got a following, so it's going to be really exciting. And then it will be closed off with Natasha, and she sings a variety of music, and she's got a huge following. We got a lot of people excited about them coming in on Friday. Then on Saturday, we're going to have our fourth annual Jubilee of Life Walk right there at the plaza. Then we will continue with more mariachis, and we'll have La Academia Dolores Huerta Mariachi and Jose Tena. will be there doing the folklorico dancing. He's known as the father of dance. Then we'll continue with Mariachi Escuelas de Plata. We will have then our first annual, the big event pageant. What's really special about the pageant is when we think of a pageant, we think of beauty. This pageant is about the beauty of in our hearts to be able to help others. So it is for a love of humankind. Then we will continue with the New Mexico Gunfighters Association. They're coming out of Albuquerque. They're volunteering for this, and they're the ones that do the Wild West reenactments, the entertainment. So that's going to be really exciting to have them there. And then we'll have the fourth annual fashion show. Then we're going to have Stepping Up, the Oldies But Goodies Band, Fat Soul, and Rudy Palacios, and featuring the tribute band. And Rudy Palacios is a sponsored band, and he's coming from San Antonio.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's really exciting that we'll have them there. And then on Sunday, it will get started off again with the New Mexico Gunfighters Association having some more Wild West fun. And then it'll continue with Carlos Salcido y El Sol. Then one of the other events that we'll have is the first annual Roberto's Enchilada Cook-Off Contest. That's where we're inviting restaurants to come in and compete. They're going to be vying for the title of the 2016 Best Red Enchilada. So that's going to be really exciting. And Roberto has donated the trophy for that event, and he will be the one passing off that trophy for that restaurant that gets to say they have the best red enchilada. Then we will continue with entertainment, Smoking Mirrors. Then we'll have our first annual Lumbre Chili Eating Contest. So that is hot, hot, hot chili. That's going to be really, really exciting. So we're going to have some brave souls getting involved in that one. Then we'll continue with our entertainment. We'll have Caliente and then the Eli James Band. So there's something I really want to say to the public. We will have some seating there, but bring your own chairs. You really want to get comfortable out there and just really enjoy being at the first annual big event to Community That Cares.
All right. Thanks, Yoli. And so the website is carelascruces.org, or it's a little bit to follow all the entertainment here and to remember where it's at. But so basically this is going to be downtown.
This is going to be downtown. We're going to be right there at the new plaza and on Main Street from Griggs to almost Las Cruces.
And it starts Friday
at 5 o'clock.
Five, okay.
And we'll have a carnival there too. We'll have some activities there for the kiddies.
All right. So, but you can go down there and you can get something to eat and hang out all night.
That's what you can do. Now, let me tell you about a big point. We are not charging to get into the event. There's not an entrance fee. However, this is an event that, you know, we are doing to help us sustain. So the first and foremost thing that will happen is people who don't know about CARE, they know about CARE now. And I can tell you this, we've already gone national. We have people coming not just from the state of New Mexico. We've got people coming from Texas. We've got Rudy's followers coming in. We've got people from Colorado, Arizona, and I got a call yesterday, San Bernardino, California. They're coming to this event. So that's really, really exciting to be able to already be national on this first inaugural year.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, thank you for coming on, Yoli. Anything else?
Yes, so I did want to say about how we are not charging to get in. However, we will actively be fundraising there, and there's a couple of ways. We will have barrels there where people can make donations, and then also we have gotten involved with a company called Pixanthropy, and what that is thinking about pixels and philanthropy, putting them together. So what they do, they're a platform that brings donors and nonprofits together. And the pictures that you can be putting on their website tells a story as to why people give, and it inspires people to give. We're going to have them there at the event also helping us out.
Cool. Great. Billy, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. And don't forget to bring your own chairs.
All right. Thanks to don't forget to support CARE. We'll take a little break here. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23-1450 to call in. 805-61802. Text on KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you something. You just couldn't be more wrong. You see, I really have to tell you. When you're buried in
All right. I don't know if you remember the when I brought up the term cuck, which is a term that's thrown around a lot these days. But cuck is basically kind of a schmuck, I think it was defined as a white male who goes around apologizing for themselves and that type of thing. So a person who's ultra liberal, ultra feminist. But anyway, I got this little clip here that kind of made me think of it. A guy asks Chelsea Clinton a question and apologizes for being a man. Here's a cuck for you right here.
Yeah, I saw your hand first, so yes, hello. And maybe just share your name and...
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, gosh, you called me ma'am. That makes me feel
I'm
so
sorry.
No, it's okay.
You
know
nothing.
Well,
first off, I would like to state that this is a wonderful idea and sorry that the first person to get the mic is a man. I do apologize. I do think it's important to encourage women's voices in every aspect of life.
That is a cuck, my friends. A person who apologizes for who he is and is a disgusting liberal and tries to be a feminist. Can a man even be a feminist? I know I met a guy who told me he was an ultra feminist. And I think I probably mentioned this to you. I was actually a client, so I can't go into too much, but he went on and it was at the end of the day and it was an emergency and everything. And he just went on and on about being an ultra feminist. And he called it he called it ultra egalitarian. He's a super egalitarian, and egalitarianism is equality across everything. And I'm just sitting there, my head is swimming, and all of a sudden I'm hallucinating almost, and I'm thinking, I can't believe this guy is not just talking about this and admitting it, but going on and on into it. It was like an out of body experience. So I finally said, have you ever heard of the term cuck? And we had kind of an entertaining conversation about that. But anyway, all right. So let's I've got to take a break here, but we got behind a little bit. Let me see if I could. All right. Let me play a quick ad and then we're going to come back and talk about emails from Colin Powell. 752. All right. There is a huge scandal out there. I don't know how big it is, really, but former Secretary of State Colin Powell, used to be head of the Army, had said he had not didn't want to vote for Hillary. She was greedy. Everything she touches turns bad in a lot of other stuff. He also insulted Donald Trump, saying he was a national embarrassment. Here's a little bit on whether this can influence the vote.
Talking points memo. Hackers have embarrassed General Powell by accessing his emails and printing them so everybody can see his private correspondence. The lesson for all of us, there is no privacy in this world. Hackers can get into your system. You can be tape recorded at any time by anybody. You can be photographed without your knowledge, and people can even listen to your private conversations while you're in your home using technology. What an awful situation. Enter Colin Powell, one of the savviest political players in America. The former Secretary of State plays both sides of the aisle and has succeeded in doing that for decades. But now hackers have attacked him, and the presidential vote may be affected. Speaking about Donald Trump in an email, Powell said this, quote, "There is nothing he can say that will sway black voters. He takes us for idiots. The whole birther movement was racist. And for Trump to say yesterday that within 4 years he would have 95% of blacks voting for him is schizo fantasy," unquote. Now, that should come as no surprise. Colin Powell has never been a fan of Donald Trump. But even though he's a Republican, he's more favorable towards Hillary Clinton, or so it seemed. The hackers put this out there, quote, "Sad thing, Hillary Rodham Clinton could have killed this 2 years ago by merely telling everyone honestly what she had done about the emails and not tie me into it. I told her staff 3 times not to try that gambit. I had to throw a mini tantrum at a Hamptons party to get their attention." Powell, as you may know, used private email himself as Secretary of State, but not nearly to the extent that Mrs. Clinton did. The general continued with another email, quote, "Been having fun with Emailgate. Hillary's mafia keeps trying to suck me into it." Now, a guy like Colin Powell can be hacked, anybody can. The effect on the vote will probably be minimal, but we can expect more hacking stuff between now and Election Day. Hacking aside, Donald Trump seems to be gaining in the race right now. At least 2 new polls say that. According to Reuters, Hillary Clinton's support is now 40%, Trump 39% among likely voters. The LA Times Daily Tracking Poll has it 47% for Trump, 42% for Hillary Clinton.
All right, so we're running out of time here on this, but I got some texts I want to get into. The Smith-Mundt Act being repealed in 2013 allows our media to spread disinformation with impunity. The propaganda machine is in full effect. While I feel Hillary may be indeed have health problems, part of me feels she's exaggerated it a bit in playing this thing up for her miraculous return just in time. I don't believe that at all. I think she was out on her feet. Here's another one. Classified. A Hillary robot is getting the finishing touches put on a jet propulsion lab, and programming for debate topics is underway. Well, I certainly hope they give her a personality. Well, I mean a likable personality. That would be a change. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in today. We'll have, I believe, the Rossin Report coming back next week. Got so much stuff to cover. But it is an exciting time to be alive. And tomorrow I'm going to do a show on the changing face of America, the changing face of morality that was spurred by, the thought of it was spurred by an article that I read that was really kind of just amazing. So we'll get into that. 7:59, Kelly O'Connelly, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180 tomorrow to text. And thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao. She wanna be a killer.